But I need some help this morning because I had a bit of a disaster. So I was drinking my coffee this morning and I had everything all typed out. But I've spilled some coffee on the reading. And so I'm hoping it's one that you all know well enough. So I need some girls and boys who know the story of Adam and Eve, have heard the story of Adam and Eve. If you know the story of Adam and Eve, come out to the front because I'm going to need your help. Because I'm just some of the words I can't make out very well. And there's a problem with my glasses and everything. So come out, sit down at the front here. And then I need some boys as well, please. Because I need some all sorts of people to come and help with the story of Adam and Eve. Thank you. Some people who can put me right. Because I think I could have some problems with this morning. Just not sure. But take a seat. Relax. Move around the front a wee bit, Sam. Move around the front a bit, Sam. So I'm not going to step on you. That way. Oh, they're all looking out at you now. So here we go. Right, so here we go. I'll tell you when I think I'm worried about a word, and you can tell me if I got it right. Right, here we go. So this is from the very start of the Bible, and it's about how God made the first human beings. The Lord God took some soil from the ground and formed a man out of it. He breathed life-giving breath into his nostrils, and the man began to live. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Broomfield. Is that right? Because I hear Broomfield is a wonderful place to live. And there's lots of signs everywhere telling me. Is it Broomfield?
Yeah.
Right, where was it?
In the Garden of Eden.
Oh, very good. Garden of Eden. Good, in the east. See? Somebody's been reading their Bible. And there he put the man he had formed. He made all kinds of beautiful trees grow there and produce sweets and jellies. Is that all okay so far? No. What have I got wrong?
He didn't do the sweets and jellies.
No sweets and jellies, because they're very bad for you. Good fruit instead. Good fruit, not fruit jellies. In the middle of the garden stood the tree that gives life and the tree that gives knowledge of what's good and what's bad. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to look after it and guard it. He told him, is this right? You may not eat anything in the garden, because it all belongs to me. Now, is that right? Is that what God said? You may not eat anything in the garden, Sam?
You may eat anything in the garden except one of the fruit on the tree of on one of the trees.
Very good, very good. Well done. You may eat the fruit of any tree, not none of the trees. God didn't say, all the trees belong to me. Except the tree that gives knowledge of what's good and what's bad. You mustn't eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you'll die the same day. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to live alone. I'll make a suitable companion to help him. So he took some soil from the ground and formed all the Xboxes and television sets. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that one? I thought that one was right.
I've got an Xbox.
Anyone got anything to add?
Huh?
Did God make all the Xboxes on the first day?
No.
No, right. Good. Oh, I've got it now. Animals and birds. Animals and birds. Then he brought them to the man to see who would name them, and that's how they got all their names. So the man named all the birds and animals, but not one of them was a suitable companion to help him. Then the Lord God made the man fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the flesh. He formed a woman out of the rib and brought her to him. I'm skipping a wee bit here. Now, the snail was the most cunning animal that the Lord God has made. No?
Snake.
The snake. Okay, very well done. The snake asked the woman, did God really tell you not to eat fruit from any tree in the garden? We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden, the woman answered, except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we'll die. The snake replied, that's not true. You won't die. God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you'll be like God and know what's good and what's bad. The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat. And she bought her Nutribullet. And she juiced the fruit. No, sorry, I'm sorry. And she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate it. As soon as they'd eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. So they went to Primark and bought some clothes. No? How did they make clothes?
They got a leaf and covered themselves.
They did. They sewed leaves together and covered themselves. That evening, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid and hid from you because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" The man answered, "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" She replied, "The snake tricked me into eating it." And later on, just the end of the story, "For now," then the Lord God said, "Now these human beings have become like one of us and have knowledge of what's good and what's bad. They mustn't be allowed to take fruit from the tree that gives life, eat it, and live forever." So the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. Well, thank you. I'd like to give a big hand to the girls and boys at the front. Thank you very much.
Don't cartoon characters make bad decisions? In fact, I don't think it's just cartoon characters. I think a lot of movie characters make bad decisions. Who's ever watched a movie and screamed at the screen, "No, don't check out the noise in the basement." Or, "Don't tell all your plans to the sinister-looking man with the British accent." I think it can be really easy for us, as we look at the story of Adam and Eve, to feel the same way. It's a really well-known story to us. It's so obvious, don't eat the fruit, people. You've got one rule in there. But I'm not sure that's really fair on Adam and Eve. First of all, I'm pretty sure they hadn't seen Snow White or Die Hard or Shrek or any of those other films. Secondly, the Bible doesn't mention timescales. Okay, when we read the story, it's only a few verses, but we don't know how long it was between between Adam and Eve hearing the command not to eat the fruit and actually eating the fruit. It could have been days, weeks, or years. I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume it probably wasn't the very next day. And thirdly, let's face it, we've probably all broken a rule at some time or done something that we knew that was wrong. So the story of Adam and Eve is as much our story as it is theirs. I'd like us to keep that in mind as I read a few short sections from Genesis. The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man he'd formed. He made all kinds of beautiful trees grow there and produce good fruit in the midst. I need to read it from here. He made all kinds of beautiful trees grow there and produce good fruit. In the middle of the garden stood the tree that gives life and the tree that gives knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to guard it. He told them, "You may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except the tree that gives knowledge of what is good and what is bad. You must not eat the fruit of that tree, because if you do, you will die." Now the snake was the most cunning animal that God had made. The snake asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden?" "We may eat the fruit from any tree in the garden," the woman answered, "except the tree in the middle of it, because God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we'll die." The snake replied, "That's not true. You will not die. God said that because he knows that when you eat it, you will be like God, and you'll know what's good and what is bad." The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat. And she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave some to her husband and he also ate it. So, if it seems so obvious to us and they've been given a clear command, why did Eve and later Adam eat the fruit? Well, one simple answer is that it's the snake's fault. If the snake hadn't come along, everything would have been fine. There's no doubt that the snake played a big part in this. We're told that the snake was the most cunning creature in the garden. We see him using his cunning on Eve to confuse, deceive, and tempt her. He confuses Eve by getting her to question God's command. Did God really say that? He straight out lies to her. He says, you will not die. And he tempts her with the idea of gaining knowledge to be like God. And Eve is taken in. But I think to blame it all on the snake and to cast Adam and Eve as innocent victims is probably a bit of a cop-out. Because the snake may have confused and deceived and tempted Eve, but the snake did not force her. Eve, and later Adam, ate the fruit because they chose to. We need to recognise that when we do something we know is wrong, however much we might want to blame other people or circumstances, the responsibility lies at our own feet. So, why did Eve choose to eat the fruit? Well, the simplest reason is that it looked good. Most of us, at some time or other, have eaten something just because it looked good. We knew we shouldn't have had the 12th chocolate biscuit or the 12th mince pie or the 12th roast potato. It just looked so good. Of course, it's not just food, is it? A lot of wrong behaviour can look good on the surface. Pushing in a queue, cheating in a test, telling something we've promised to keep secret. All these things can look quite attractive. And sometimes, like Eve, we can just get caught up in that flow of see it, want it, take it. But I think for Eve, that was only a small part of it. The real problem is that when Eve listened to the snake, she began to doubt God's goodness. The snake says, if you eat this fruit, you will not die. God just says that because he knows that if you eat it, you'll become like him. The snake casts God as a baddie. The snake casts God as not having Eve's best interests at heart. And she began to doubt. Well, if only Eve had taken time to have another quick look around the garden. Because the Bible tells us that actually the garden was full of trees that looked good and tasted good. It doesn't say anywhere that the forbidden tree tasted any better than the others. Eden wasn't a garden full of rules. It was a garden full of trees. And what a shame that by focusing on the one thing that she couldn't have, Eve lost out on all the good gifts that she could have enjoyed. I think it can be easy for us today to feel the same way. Who really likes following rules all the time? It can be really hard. And one reason it can be hard to follow rules is sometimes we don't always trust the person who's made the rules. We sometimes think that we know best. We know that we're supposed to keep our bedroom tidy. We know that we're supposed to listen quietly whilst our teacher's talking. We know that God commands us to be generous with our time and money. We know that he wants us to forgive those who hurt us. Sometimes it can be hard to trust God and to believe that he really does always want what's best for us. When we feel that way, we too must look at the world around us. We must look at the signs of God's provision and generosity that we can see in our own lives. We too must try to focus less on the small number of restrictions placed upon us and instead be grateful for the many gifts and joys and pleasures we can enjoy. If we find ourselves doubting the goodness of God, we must literally count our blessings. Let's also be grateful that we don't have to suffer the same banishment as Adam and Eve. Because when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they had to leave the garden and they could never go back. They could no longer enjoy that close relationship with God that they'd had in the garden. But for God, it wasn't over. God started out on a rescue plan that is played out through the Israelite nation in the Old Testament and is fulfilled in Jesus. God's people couldn't be with him in the garden, so he came down to earth in the person of Jesus to be with us here. Jesus' life and his death on the cross closed the gap that was formed by the rebellion of the world's first people. And that means that for us today, even though we may do things wrong, We don't have to live in permanent separation from God. Through confessing our sins and trusting in Jesus, all our wrongdoings can be taken away and our relationship with God can be restored. For Adam and Eve, there was no way back. But for us, no matter what we might do, there will always be a way back.